We hear a lot about disruptions these days. Ride services are disrupting the economic models of cities and their regulated cab industries. The Economist magazine recently wrote of a new $100 billion investment fund called the Vision Fund. And they say the Vision Fund is disrupting both the industries in which it invests and other suppliers of capital. It says it will take a time to figure out whether this is a good thing or a bad thing. Of course, we hear about the great disruption of our national and political life brought about by our president and his base and his team. Yesterday, I'm going off script here, yesterday we heard a lot about disruption of the norms of the royal family and our presiding bishop doing a great job preaching for the wedding and how disruptive it was to have so many changes going on for that family. There are always plenty of forces beyond our immediate control which affect our lives, but not always adversely. Regardless, the question is always how we will respond to disruptions here and now, even as we allow a fuller evaluation of whether they're good or bad to emerge. The original disruptor is, of course, the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. From the first chapter of Genesis, the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, or in some versions, moved and troubled the waters. Or later in the time of Judges, the Spirit actually drove people to war. At least that's what they perceived. The Spirit of the Lord came on Othniel, so he became Israel's judge and went to war. And that war, we're told, resulted in 40 years of peace. The prophet Micah gave voice to the power, a source of the power of all the prophets, when he said, "But as for me, I'm filled with power, with the Spirit of God, and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression, to Israel his sin." And of course, in our story from the Acts of the Apostles today, we hear that the Holy Spirit, who sometimes is a still small voice, but today descends with the sound of the rush of a violent wind. The original disruptor. Let's look at what she does. She is creative, brings new possibilities into being, forming a new humanity across boundaries of race and language. She teaches, always teaches, guides us. The Spirit, called the Advocate by St. John, the Spirit of truth who will guide us into all truth. So if we want to evaluate the disruptions that occur in our lives, we can assume that some of them are simply bad things that happen. A bad diagnosis of illness. Someone we love dying untimely. Or some law changed in society that's meant to be good for everyone but doesn't feel particularly good for us. At the same time, we can assume there are other disruptions that are of the Holy Spirit. When they reflect God, when they are creative, when they make for new possibilities in this world, when they break down the barriers which divide us, when they reflect the values of God given in the Torah, things we know to be aligned with all in our deepest beings, with all that is truth, all that is justice, all that is love. I've recently been introduced to an essay of Václav Havel from October 1978. It's called The Power of the Powerless, and I got interested in it, so I'm going to tell you about it. It was originally written for a volume in which Polish and Czech contributors would respond to this essay he was writing. The volume never materialized, and a month after he wrote it, Havel was arrested. His essay was circulated, becoming almost prophetic encouragement, particularly in Poland, to what became eventually the Solidarity Movement, an anti-communist trade union that was the backbone of opposition to communist rule in Poland. The Polish authorities tried to suppress this movement, martial law, years of oppression, but with the covert support of the United States and the CIA, Solidarity prevailed. And in 1989, many of you know this, semi-free elections were held and union leader Lech Walesa was elected president of Poland. About that same time, Václav Havel, recently released from prison, became president of Czechoslovakia, giving a remarkable speech to both houses of Congress a year later. His essay is about dissent, and it's about how you don't really choose to become a dissenter. you start dissenting out of the sort of fundamental being that you're given, the fundamental humanity that you have. He tells the parable of the manager of a fruit and vegetable shop who, when he gets his produce delivered every day, puts it in the window, he has to put a sign in the window that says, "Workers of the world, unite." And Havel makes clear that the sign does not tell of the grocer's enthusiasm for the regime. It's just part of what he has to do to get along, is to put this sign in his window. It's a symbol, rather, according to Havel, of his submission, his humiliation at the hands of the system in power. And one day, however, something awakens within that manager, and he declines, he just can't display that sign. The intentions of life itself, of his humanity, are in conflict with the intentions of the system that wants to put everything down, control everything, and control everyone. The grocer doesn't choose to become a dissident. He just knows he must take such a risk. It's just he can't do it anymore. He must act in a way that affirms his most basic humanity over and against all in the system that would dehumanize him and dehumanize those about him. There is so much more to Havel's essay, but I believe that it was that encouragement to claim and live out of and act out of our basic humanity at its best that served as inspiration to the Polish Unionists and to so many others. So was the result not greater freedom in two nations under Soviet bloc influence and rule, ultimately throughout the whole bloc? We can deplore the situation of those countries today, just as we might applaud the Arab Spring and despair where it has led us so far. But nonetheless, wouldn't we say that disruption was godly, that it was creative, that it broke down barriers, that it brought new possibilities into being? On balance, I think we have to affirm anything that reminds us we are made in the image of God and made for abundant life. One more story. In the early 80s, last time I was a youth minister, I did a lock-in on the night before the eve of Pentecost, a lock-in where the teenagers and I stayed up all night with the other youth leaders in the church and did various things. We watched a movie that was new at that time called Norma Rae, the story of a courageous woman who helped unionize the textile industry in North Carolina, not far from where we were in Raleigh. And if you can leave aside for the moment any feelings or opinions you might have about trade unions in general, think about what we saw in that film was a woman claiming her humanity, demanding proper treatment for herself and her co-workers. She led them to break down barriers, to bring into being new possibilities, not only for herself and her co-workers, but for her employers. It was impossible for the young people not to see the parallel with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. New sense of community or common humanity, overcoming differences, opening new possibilities. Those young people made the connection as to how the Holy Spirit works and what it looks like. And that year, their worship was a real celebration for them, tired as they were. In the face of disruptions, whether we like them or not, what we can do is double down on our own humanity, look again at how we are living, whether we're being faithful to the image of God in which we were created, whether we're being our best selves. We can find ourselves dissenting, like the grocer of Havel's parable, simply by refusing to be dehumanized at the hands of those in power. Wherever we see disruptions leading to greed or racism or hatred or violence or releasing the mob, we can give thanks for and support the rule of law. We can pray for those we know who are afraid for their lives, even as we pray for political leaders, that they may be led to wise decisions and right actions for the welfare and peace of the world. We can align ourselves as best we know how with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes that will be uncomfortable for us. And if, as and when the time comes when we must refuse to participate in a lie, when we just can't put up with it anymore, and we have to do something different, then we can hope that we have the courage of our convictions to affirm all that is good and true and holy, even if that means feeling as though we're risking some friendships, or possibly even with civil disobedience, losing our freedom in acting with integrity. My brothers and sisters, the power of the Spirit is aligned with the power of the people we were created to be, the love that made us for love, the love that we heard from our presiding bishop yesterday. If we imagine the power and the possibility, we are talking about the Holy Spirit. So I invite you to take a time of silence. Use it how you will, but perhaps invoke the Spirit to disrupt your life, that you may be more free and more loving and more gracious and more generous and more truthful than you ever knew possible. In silence and in response to the gospel, let us pray.